Welcome to the Build Your Coaching Business Around the 9-to-5 podcast. I'm your coach, Pamela Pritchard, and I help you go from employee to business owner. Whether you're creating your first client or learning how to create clients on repeat whilst holding down your day job, I'll help you make your business dreams a reality. Let's begin. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Build Your Coaching Business Around the 9-to-5 podcast. Today is a very special episode because I have a guest. That guest is Mael De Francesco, and she is a mind, body, eating, and life coach. And today we're going to speak about her journey of going from full-time in her established career into stepping into being a full-time life coach. So, Mael, would you like to introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do and who you work with?
Sure. First of all, hi, Pamela. I'm so happy to be here. Super excited to be on this podcast. So, as you said, I'm a mind, body, eating coach and a life coach. So I've decided to help women who have dieted their whole life, have issues with their body image, have issues around food, to finally find peace with both of them, both food and their body, to finally live the life that they want and do the things that they've wanted to do their whole lives. So that's what I've decided to do and to focus on in my coaching business.
So good and so needed as well. I love this niche and I'm so happy that you're bringing it to people. So tell me about the journey before you joined Thrive and came into my world.
So I joined Thrive in February 2024, I think. So it's been a little while now. I actually got my coaching certifications back in 2022. So it had been a while, was in a full-time job. So my 9-to-5 was taking a lot of my time and energy, even though I loved it at the time when I did my coaching certification. And I was very much lost in my business when I joined Thrive. I had been kind of posting on Instagram for 2 years, trying to find people, but not really doing much either because I felt exhausted after my 9-to-5. So I had very little time to actually focus on my business. So I was very much posting and hoping that something would happen. And I felt like it was time to start focusing on my business more because that was my calling. And I really wanted to give it more time, more energy, and have someone to support me on this journey, because as I said, I was very lost and I needed more mindset work also, because I had the strategies that I thought I needed to be able to work on my business, but there was something of like, I'm not doing it, but why? So that's why I needed someone to coach me. So that's why I decided to join Thrive. I was literally in love with your messaging, Pamela. Everything I saw on your social media, I was just like, you're in my head. You're just in my head. I need this now. This is me and I need to work with you. And I want to learn how to do the same.
Yes. Good. Good. And that we did. And something you said at the very beginning there, which I think is so important to recognize and acknowledge, is that you had an established career. You said that you loved your job. And I think this is really important because coaching isn't about necessarily because people hate their job or hate their life or anything like that. Although there are sometimes interesting circumstances that lead us to find life coaching. I always think that's really interesting to look at. But that was one of the things that really stood out about you, the fact that you actually were great at your job and you used to love it. Do you mind sharing what changed or what the catalyst was, given that you did certify in 22?
So the reason behind my certifications were that, first of all, I started during COVID. I had way more time, things in terms of business with the company I was working for were very slow because of COVID. So I had a lot of time and I decided, I really want to do those things. And I've been thinking about it for a while. So I decided to get certified. But in terms of loving my job, So I was operations manager in a small startup in Ireland. So I had a lot of things going on. I was doing a lot of different roles. We're a super small team. So I got to do a lot of things. And one thing about me is that I've always loved the business aspect of things. I have a bachelor's and a master's degree in international business. So that's always something that has been interesting to me. I wanted to have like real life experience in a company before I started my own thing. When I was in college, I had no idea what my own thing was going to be, but I knew at some point I wanted to have my own business. And what I loved in my 9-to-5 was getting to do so many different things, from marketing, customer support, admin, strategy, all those kind of things. I love that. However, in the past, things started to change in the company, and there were a lot of things that started to not be as good as they were before. The management decided to look into selling the company. So we knew that there were going to be a lot of changes anyway. So when I joined Thrive, I knew that might happen, but we didn't know the timeline or anything. And when I was in Thrive, we learned that the company was going to be sold. And that's when I decided to leave my 9-to-5.
And I remember that part of the journey so vividly, because I think it's so important. It's something I've spoken about on the podcast before, is to be able to retain the reverence that we had for our previous career. We are making such a significant change, even if things are never going to be the same, we're never going to be an employee again. I think it's nice to be able to look back on who we used to be and look back on those memories with fondness, even if the circumstances that have caused you to have to move now and really get your business going now weren't, I don't know, necessarily on your terms or in the way that you would have liked. Changing that mindset around the way that you view your 9-to-5, I think can really make a difference in setting you up for success as you step into business and step into a change. What do you think about that? I mean, that's my observation of it and something that I value, but like, what's your thoughts on that?
I completely agree with that. I think what I didn't mention is that I was in that company for 7 years. So it's been a big chunk of my life. I moved to Ireland at the same time, so you can probably hear from my accent that I'm French, but I moved to Ireland 7 years ago, started working with this company. So I've mostly known living in Ireland, working for that company, like that was very much my identity and what I knew. For 6 years, I've loved it. I've enjoyed it so much. I've grown so much in that company with the people I was working with. And I agree that because this is such a massive part of my life, I kind of wanted to have good memories from it. I didn't want it to end on a bad note and then think back of the 7 years, look, everything has been destroyed by the past year. I just want to go start my coaching business and just resent everyone from that company and just resent my work there, not be proud of it. I just didn't want that. I wanted to have a clean break and know that I've given it my all. I've done the best I could there. I can be proud of the work I've done. And it has ended because it's the end of a chapter and the start of a new one for me, but without any resentment or, you know, anger.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. And I also have to highlight too, I don't know if you know this, but quite a lot of my clients are international as well. They have moved and live somewhere where they're not native. And linking where you live with your identity, with your job, it's so entwined and it's a lot to unpack when you are making such a significant shift. I always remember in my psychology studies that they said, like, moving country, changing job, leaving a career, starting a business, they can be some of the most stressful things that we ever do. When we navigate the fact that you're not in your home country and that you've never been in Ireland without this job, it suddenly makes you look at your wider life landscape and recognize that this is really stepping into a new chapter. There is lots more change than just changing job. And starting a business is so different to just changing job. It's a very different way of thinking. It's a different way of managing your own time. And it's a different way of relating to your the place that you live and where you are and going to work every day or having a place of work. I know that you work in a co-working space and you've decided to keep co-working.
Yeah, that's right. I've been in that co-working space for the past 6 years with that company, and I just love that environment. I think it's great to meet new people. Again, as a foreigner, that was the best way for me to meet new people. A lot of my close friends now are from there that I met there when I was work in that co-working space. So I've decided to keep going back a few days a week, probably. Also, like, there's one thing I've learned during COVID is that working from home full time is not for me. So having that, you know, people working around me and moving around me, that really motivates me and puts me in a work mode, whereas working from home sometimes is just a bit tiresome. So yeah, I'm going to keep going back, just also for, you know, to have interactions with other people. I think it's so important. So I found my balance there. So I'll keep going for sure.
So good. And keeping that balance and figuring out what works for you, that was something that I know we coached on a lot. And that's something that most of my clients who have a 9-to-5, we navigate, is figuring out what works for you, whether it's home working or co-working, even the time of day to prioritize business activities, how to navigate your energy levels when you've got lots going on at work. And what's happening at work often fluctuates. There's periods where it's really high demand, and there's other periods where you have a bit more downtime, and figuring out how to maintain the business activities and keep the business activities going when you've got other things that are always fluctuating, that takes a lot of navigating and lots of, I guess, negotiating with yourself, with your energy levels, and finding what works for you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you've been a massive help in giving me permission and helping me give myself permission to actually create a schedule that works for me. One of the things for me is, like, I'm completely useless in the afternoons. So you, when you mentioned, like, you can do, you know, easier stuff like reading a business book or watch a training, which I tend to do anyway during my work days, in the afternoon, and keep the deep work in the morning, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Because it went from, you know, the employee mindset of I have to do all that in 8 hours, and, you know, I just have to do everything and I have to work in the afternoon because I'm paid to be sitting on my chair and do the work. So giving myself permission to do easier work, for me anyway, to watch a training in the afternoon, was just a massive shift. And yeah, that was great coaching from you, Pamela. I loved that session. Actually, I'm remembering it now, and just, I loved it.
Good. I'm so glad to hear it. So one thing that I'd love to hear about is, for anyone listening who, because obviously all my listeners are coaches who are hoping to go full-time to one day, is there any advice that you would love to share that maybe you wish you had known coming into Thrive, or that you learned through Thrive, that you would love to impart, or just from your own experience that you think would be really valuable for them to hear?
Yes. So I think the first one for me is get someone to support you. Like, get your own coach, because the journey would have been so much harder and probably way more painful without having you, Pamela, and Thrive. So I think that's my first advice. Like, don't do it by yourself. Is the very stressful one who is, you know, in your corner, but also emotionally removed from the situation, so can give you objective advice and can point you to, like, question you and make sure that you're doing this for the right reasons. I think that's the best thing you can do for yourself. So if there's a moment to invest, that's, like, when you're ready to leave your 9-to-5, and yeah, have that person in your corner to question you and make sure you're doing the right thing for yourself. I think that's the best thing you can do.
And I just have to say, as much as I love to hear it, I just want to assure everybody, Mayel is not being paid for this. And I did not ask her to say that. I had no idea that she would, but thank you. But even, you know, even if it isn't me, I have to vouch for it. Like, having support, wherever it comes from, whether it's me, someone else, whatever, it is just such a game changer. Because, you know, I won't go into that, you know, how I feel. Obviously, I'm the coach. We're all coaches here. We know the value of that. Anything else? Because you said the first thing, I felt like there was a second piece of advice, but don't worry if there isn't.
Second piece of advice would be to make sure that you do that for the right reason. And that's also when the coaching helped me a lot, you know, because there are times where you just want to kind of burn your bridges and just go, like, I'm done. I'm just quitting now. I don't care about anything else about that company. I'm just done. I want you to go on my own journey, and I'm ready to go, and it doesn't matter how I do things. And the fact that, you know, that that's probably going to happen in your own journey too. And having someone who can question that and make sure that you're doing that for the good reasons is so important, because that really happened to me. And there are moments where I was like, yeah, actually, I don't really care about doing that for the right reasons. I'm just ready to, you know, just go and be free. So yeah, making sure that you're doing the right thing for yourself, for like to not be too stressed, and also to not regret it afterwards. Because once you've done it, it's very hard to recover. Like once you've burned your bridges, it's very hard to recover. And knowing that you can leave on your own terms without giving your power away to that 9-to-5 and that company is also a massive victory for yourself, because you know that, you know, there's a bit of pride in knowing that, you know, I kept my dignity and I kept my head high and I left in good terms. And, you know, if I see my former colleagues in the street, I'd be happy to see them. And also knowing that I'm not going to regret it in 2 years, thinking like, oh my God, what did I do? Like I left that company in such bad terms. Like now everyone hates me, and, you know, it's just, I wouldn't be okay with that. And I think I would ended up regretting it at the end, in the end. Yeah, I think that's my other piece of advice.
Go all in. If you're committing to coaching, commit to coaching. And as someone who comes from a HR background, that just put the fear in me. I was like, no way, because I've seen it too frequently in my corporate days. It's a small world. People know people, and there are so many opportunities as well. And you never know who is going to want to refer you, advocate for you. You never know what opportunities are going to come from your previous colleagues, from your previous employer. The network is surprisingly small, and especially as many life coaches tend to end up, whether intentionally or as a byproduct of their work, becoming known locally as well, or within the communities, because many of our first clients tend to be people that know us once, you know, once, maybe twice removed, if that. Yeah, I love that that was a value of yours, and that it was something that we were able to shift your mindset around. So brilliant advice. I love to hear it. One final thing I want to pick your brain about is going from, so you mentioned employee mindset. I know that's something I bang on about all day, every day, but what for you stood out to you when you were stepping into your CEO embodiment and thinking about your coaching business? We've spoken a lot about leaving the 9-to-5 now and the employee side of stuff, but tell me some of the shifts for you when it came to stepping into your CEO embodiment.
Yes. So one of them was giving myself permission to actually do the things that I wanted to do and how I wanted to do them. Because as an employee, you have certain tasks, and again, like, you're paid to be there 8 hours in front of your computer, and you have to stay there, you have to do things a certain way according to the company's process and stuff. Just being able to give myself permission to do the things that I wanted to do was great. Learning to trust my intuition also was another thing, of like what feels right to me now, and I'm the CEO, so I'm the one making the decision. Something that really stood out also from one of the coaching sessions in Your Next Big Clients, I think, was about, you know, when you're a CEO, don't go crowdsourcing and, you know, get, like, ask questions to be guided. Like, you're the CEO, you're the one who makes the decision. And that's something I'm trying to remember also, because sometimes it's, you know, you want to outsource the decisions because they're hard to make, you know, and you want to be guided into like, what am I doing? But learning to trust my intuition and learn to think like the person in charge was a big shift.
That's such a great insight. So let me expand on that a little bit for anybody who's thinking, what is crowdsourcing and what exactly do we mean by that? If you don't already know, it's like when you have business questions and then not wanting to make the decision yourself, not wanting to answer your own questions, or wanting reassurance or validation that the decisions you do make are the right decisions. And the way that I see this come up with coaches generally is choosing the right platform, choosing the right offer, knowing whether or not you can do the niche and the clients that you want to serve, the price that you want to charge, even choosing how frequently you post or how you post or the way that you write things. And there is so much noise online. When there is so much coming at us, it's hard to know which direction to take, who to trust, what's going to work for you. And so a bit of this leans into, I think, the energy piece that we were speaking about and being able to, as you said, about giving yourself permission when it comes to knowing when to work with your energy and knowing like when it's okay to work on your business and what to prioritize in your business, but even the decisions within your business. Learning not to crowdsource. And one of the things that I love about you is that, yes, you're on Instagram, but you're not on the content creation hamster wheel. You've chosen really intentional forms of marketing with your podcast and blogging that will set you up for the long term. And it's something that lots of coaches come to me with. And I say to them, you don't have to do social media as your primary driver. And I know that was something that you were really happy about that you were doing anyway, but to actually really make that the intentional strategy and know how to implement that as a strategy, as opposed to I'm doing this thing, but I'm not sure if it's going to work, is a very different energetic. So yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing. Is there anything you want to add to that? Or
I think the other thing was also, and you kind of touched on that, for me, choosing different form of content. So the blog and the podcast was, the goal was to have a long-term strategy. Sometimes as an employee, you have a very small vision of like what you're doing because you have your day-to-day tasks and you kind of forget to have the long-term strategy. Obviously, in my role as operations manager, I had to have sometimes a bigger vision, but still, like when you're working for someone else, it's very different. Whereas here, having a long-term strategy of things that are going to bring me results, like maybe in 6 weeks or you know, in a few months, because I'm going to have created a body of work, was also like, as you said, giving myself permission to do that was a big shift and was very important for me because, yeah, that's what I wanted to do, like build a body of work that's going to help me in SEO, like, you know, ranking on search engines and just have something created, like people can find me in a few months and listen to all my podcast episodes, read all my blogs, whereas like on Instagram, everything would be gone in like what the posts now have like a 24-hour life in the feeds, like, yeah, stories 24 hours too. And, you know, they're forgotten even faster than posts. So I think that was another thing. And investing in my business, like investing in coaching, for me, that was also a big shift from, you know, being the employee who, you know, you have to save money as an employee for the company. Like that was the case in the company I was working for anyway, being such a small structure, have to save money. Like, you know, training is not really a priority. You have to do your day-to-day tasks. You don't really have time for much else. Whereas as a CEO, you want to make sure you have the skills that you need to be able to run your business and show up for your business. So investing both in coaching and like one-to-one support was like such a massive help. I'm actually investing my money in myself and in my business.
That, oh my gosh, say it louder for the people at the back. The shift from employee to CEO when it comes to money and investments is that being an employee is looking at the cost of things and being a CEO is looking at the return and the investment, the opportunity of the returns that you get when you invest. That is such a big shift. And I want to acknowledge as well that that isn't easy. I was the same actually, and I didn't even realize it until you said it. I worked in a role where I had budgets, and it doesn't mean don't have budgets. I'm not saying that. Budgets are very wise and very healthy, and you definitely want them as a CEO. But any expense that we looked at was always a cost. It was always what is the cost and justifying it versus what is the opportunity and what is the investment and where are the skills gap. When it's all on your head as well, because you're representing and you know, you're representing somebody else's money, you're representing someone else's choices. And as an employee, or as a CEO to employees, we do have to make sure that there are, I guess, parameters of their spending. Mm-hmm. So if it's the other people spending your money, then fair enough. But you then as the employee in that situation, it creates a mindset. So for you to step out of that and choose to invest in your own business, that isn't easy. I want to acknowledge that for everyone who knows that they want a coach, who knows that they want to invest, but actually is just feeling the feels with actually just putting some skin in the game and actually taking that leap and recognizing where you want the support and investing for it. I'll never pretend that that's not an easy hurdle to get over. I mean, at my stage of business, for me now, I'm in the mindset that investing is a non-negotiable when I have the means. And also, again, don't take this out of context, please. Like if you have the means is like the underlying assumption here. When you don't make yourself wrong for that. That's a circumstantial restriction. But when you have the means and it is really just a, oh God, I'm scared to spend this, giving yourself permission to step into that CEO embodiment and give your business the skills it needs, that's how you take the next step. And thank you for bringing that to the table. Such a good point. So thank you. All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining. It's been so lovely to hear your insights and hear your reflections. I'm so excited for what's next. And you're full time now and enjoying your business?
So I'm actually working as a freelancer 8 hours per week for the company I used to have my 9-to-5 with, just to help with the transition. And the rest of the time I am full-time on my coaching business, and from the end of June I will be working full-time on my coaching business. So I'm very excited too for what's next. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
So good. And I love that you have that transition. And I'm such an advocate for multiple streams of income. So having contracting hours is amazing. And it's a different shift from being a full-time employee. So it's a nice segue into it. So roll on July when that comes. It won't come fast enough, I'm sure. So how can people find you if they want to work with you or hear more about mind, body, eating, life coaching?
Sure. So my Instagram is at coachingwithmael. And mostly you can find me on my website and my blog. So it's maeldefrancesco.com.
Thank you so much for joining. And I'll see you very soon. And everyone, thanks for listening. And I'll see you in the next episode.